So Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 to 20. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you've been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow his commands, and as I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's pray. Father, this passage contains a wonderful promise that you can change us. We need that to become a follower of Jesus. We need you to open our hearts to believe. And we need that to grow as a follower of Jesus. We need you to work in our hearts to enable us to love you and obey your commands. So we ask, please, as we spend time together with your word open before us, we pray that you'd be at work among us by your Spirit and for your glory. Amen. You can obey the Lord. You can. You can keep his commands. You can love him. You can love him with your heart and your soul and your strength. You can. Don't despair over familiar battles. You know, most of us have something that for years we've not made progress with. Something maybe you feel defeated by. Don't despair. Don't give up. God can change you. You can obey the Lord. Now, if you've been here during our series in Deuteronomy, that might sound a bit surprising, because throughout the book there's been this contrast between God's faithfulness and Israel's unfaithfulness. And it seems as though Israel is a lost cause. They're stubbornly rebellious. What we've seen throughout the book is that the heart of the problem for God's people is the problem of the heart. But in this passage, God promises to change his people's hearts. There's hope for God's people in the promises of God. So, 2 points this morning. The Lord will circumcise your heart you must choose to trust him. Firstly, the Lord will circumcise your heart, verses 1 to 10. The section begins, verse 1, when all these blessings and curses I've set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. What are these blessings and curses that Moses is talking about? Well, if you've got your Bibles, just turn back to chapter 28. Let me quickly read the first few verses there. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves, the lambs. Verse 5, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Victory over enemies, great prosperity. But, verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And as you read on, the curses are the reverse of the blessings. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. You'll suffer defeat at the hand of your enemies. You'll experience poverty and sickness. You'll be driven from the land, just as the Canaanites were before you. So blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And when you look at chapter 28, there's an imbalance, isn't there? Only 14 verses are on the blessings, while there are 54 verses spelling out the curses. And although the curses are all promised if you fail to obey, it kind of feels more like when you fail to obey. That these things are going to happen, not if, but when. And we've seen that idea through the book, haven't we? This prediction of Israel's failure. It'll be stated most explicitly in chapter 31, which we'll look at next week. But it's pretty clear here in chapter 30 as well. When all these blessings and curses come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. This one verse contains hundreds of years of Israel's history. They are going to enter the land. And for a time, they'll enjoy the blessings that God promised. But then they'll turn from the Lord, and the curses will be enacted to the point where they're driven from the land and scattered, dispersed among the nations. And here, God is looking ahead to that time when they're dispersed among the nations. And he says they will take these things to heart. If you like, they'll come to their senses. And they'll turn back to the Lord. So verse 2, when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then verse 3, the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Israel will turn to the Lord. The Lord will turn to Israel and restore them. But verse 6 makes it clear that it's actually God's action that comes first. Verse 6 is the heart of this section. It says, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Do you remember the supreme command in the Shema? In chapter 6, the central call of the whole book of Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. See, first and foremost, God wants the allegiance of our hearts. Before any external obedience, God wants us to love him from the heart, to worship him, to fear him, to trust him. That was chapter 6, but in chapters 8 and 9, do you remember, Moses warns the people about the natural state of their hearts. He warns them about their great tendency to self-sufficiency, how when they've entered the land and are enjoying its prosperity, their hearts will become proud. And they'll say in their hearts, my power and strength have produced this wealth for me. They'll say in their hearts, the Lord has brought me into the land because of my righteousness. The human heart is bent towards self-sufficiency, self-reliance, forgetting the Lord and turning from him. And so in chapter 10, Moses commands the people to circumcise their hearts. It's an interesting image, isn't it? It means, I think, to remove anything that hinders them from being fully devoted to the Lord, to cut away from their heart those things, those loves, those desires that keep them from wholehearted love of the Lord. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. They need heart surgery. They need to be changed at the core of their being. God's people have no hope of loving the Lord, being faithful to him, unless their hearts are changed. And the wonderful thing that we learn here in Deuteronomy 30 is that what God commanded the people to do, he is going to do for them. He says, I will circumcise your hearts. I'll perform the surgery that you need. I'll change you on the inside so that you are able to love the Lord with all your heart and soul. I said at the start of the series that Deuteronomy is the gospel according to Moses, and chapter 30 is where that gospel message reaches its climax. God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves but desperately need. God wins. Grace wins. This promise of heart change is picked up by the later prophets. So in Jeremiah 31, God declares, I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in their minds and I'll write it on their hearts. I'll forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God promises, I will take you out of the nations. I'll gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you, and I'll move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. These promises of the new covenant are fulfilled in Jesus and his gift of the Spirit who's poured out on his people. It's the Spirit who enables us to believe in Jesus and then changes us from the inside out, renewing our mind, transforming our heart, giving us new desires, a new ability to love the Lord and walk in obedience to his commands. I have 5 gospel affirmations that I remember most mornings. I flesh them out a bit, but in summary, they are these. God the Father loves me. Jesus died for me. The Spirit lives in me. I'm on my way to glory. And finally, I'm being changed. God is working unstoppably to make me more like Jesus. And therefore, I'm not stuck. I'm not stuck. I am guaranteed growth and change. We were thinking a bit about this last week. Do you remember? The Christian life is a battle. You see, we all still have that bent towards forgetting the Lord and turning from him. Our fight against sin and temptation is too hard for us. But we have the Spirit of the living God within us. He's given us a new heart and new desires. He's promised to change us. And with his help, we can obey. We can fight and win. We won't do that perfectly, but we can obey. You're not stuck. You're not. You can love the Lord. You can obey him. Don't say, my habits are too ingrained. There's no hope of changing. Don't say that. Don't say, I'm too weak, I've failed too many times. Don't say that. God promises to circumcise your heart. Believe it. You can make progress. You can change. I mean, if you're a Christian, he's already changed you. He's already changed your heart drastically from living for yourself and rejecting Jesus to loving Jesus, trusting him, wanting to live for him. He's already done the major surgery. You can trust him for the minor procedures. We've seen through the book of Deuteronomy that the law is good, haven't we? We've seen that obedience to the law is the way of life and blessing. But the law itself can't solve the problem. The external law can't change our hearts. But in the law, here in Deuteronomy 30, God promises that he will change our hearts. He will circumcise our hearts. Listen to this little verse. Run, John, run, the law commands, but gives us neither feet nor hands. Better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly and gives us wings. The Lord will circumcise your heart. Secondly, verses 11 to 20, you must choose to trust him. Verse 11 begins, now what I'm commanding you today, that is, love the Lord, be faithful to him, keep his commands. It's not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. That's surprising, right? We've just learned we can't do it, not on our own. So what is Moses saying? It seems that what Moses is saying is, although he knows we won't do it, or at least the Israelites won't do it, they'll fail, they'll disobey, it's not because God was asking something impossible of them. As Moses goes on, verses 12 to 14, this command, it's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey? Nor is it beyond the sea, so you have to ask, well, who's going to cross the sea and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey? Moses is saying, it's not as though the command is out of your reach. No, says Moses, verse 14, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Daniel Block, in his helpful commentary on Deuteronomy, says this, in calling for wholehearted obedience, Yahweh does not demand what is unknowable or impossible or unreasonable. If Israel fails, and they will, it will not be because the people cannot keep the law because the bar is impossibly high, but that they will not keep it. Not that they cannot keep it, but that they will not. But we have to ask, how? How could Israel keep the law? And the answer, I think, is by trusting the Lord, having faith in God. They keep the law by believing his promise. Now, Moses doesn't use the word trust or faith or belief in this passage, so am I just kind of reading that into the text? I don't think so, and let me show you why I think this is what Moses is saying. These verses, 12 to 14, are explained by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Paul, in chapter 9 and 10 of Romans, is explaining the full meaning of what Moses was always saying. In the book of Romans, Paul is talking about how a person can be saved, how they can have and live in right relationship with God. He says, what we need is righteousness. We need to be not guilty. We need to be perfect in God's sight. And Paul says at the end of chapter 9 that Israel, that the Jewish people by and large, have not attained this righteousness. Why not? Well, Romans 9:32 says, because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. See, Israel heard the laws and they thought, right, we can obey those. And they turned the law into a ladder And they said, we can climb our way to God. We can achieve a righteousness through our own work, by our own effort. And Paul says that's why they failed to attain that righteousness, because they didn't have faith. They tried to achieve it on their own. They were guilty of what Moses warned about in Deuteronomy 8 and 9, self-reliance, self-righteousness. They tried to achieve a righteousness themselves. Paul goes on in chapter 10, verse 4, Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Paul is saying, Christ is the fulfillment of the law. He is the one who kept the law perfectly. Jesus is the faithful one, the faithful Israelite. He's the one who loves the Lord with all his heart. He's the one who obeys every command. He's the one who deserves all the blessings promised. But Jesus is also the one who takes the curse of the law. Deuteronomy says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was taking all the curse of the law, all the punishment that our disobedience deserves. Jesus is the one who fulfills the law, who secures the blessings and exhausts the curse. He's the one who has righteousness, the righteousness that we all need. And by faith, we receive his righteousness. You see, in Jesus, God has provided the way for stubbornly rebellious, guilty sinners to be justified, to be made right, declared to be right with him, to live in right relationship with God. It's not something we achieve through our own effort, something we receive by faith, by trusting in Jesus. By faith, we are counted as if we had kept the law perfectly. You see, the law was always pointing forward to Jesus. And Paul is saying that's what Moses was always talking about. And there's a sense in which the Israelites should have realized this. They should have known they could never keep the law on their own. They needed to trust God to provide a way, for God to provide the righteousness that they needed. And in Jesus, he has. We have the great privilege of living this side of Jesus, this side of the fulfillment of the law. In the gospel, we've received the full revelation of God's saving work. Jesus lived the life we could never live. Jesus died the death we deserve to die. All we need to do is trust him. And that is not too difficult for us. He is near to us. We don't need to ascend into heaven to get him, for he's already come down. We don't need to bring Jesus up from the deep, for he has risen from the dead. He is near to us. He's alive and he's present by his Spirit. This word of faith, this message of salvation, it's being proclaimed right here, right now. We can take hold of that message. We can take hold of Jesus today. We can believe in him today. We can confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. We can believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved today. That's the choice that is set before us this morning. Look again at verse 19. Moses says, this day I call the heavens
and the earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. I mean, why would you choose anything else? Choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Choose life. Choose to trust the Lord. Trust him to save you, to forgive you, to accept you, to clothe you in the righteousness of Christ. And trust him to change you, to circumcise your heart, to bring to completion the work he's begun, to conform you to the image of his Son, to sanctify you through and through. And so this week, when you face temptation as you will, when you're called to obey, your first responsibility is faith. In the face of temptation, faith. Trust God's promise to circumcise your heart, to change you, to change your desires, to enable you to obey. Trust his promise that the life of obedience is still the life of greatest blessing. And when you stuff it up again, as you will, keep trusting the Lord. Trust his promise to forgive, to cleanse, to change. This side of eternity, you'll never obey perfectly, but you can grow in love for the Lord little by little. You can walk in joyful obedience to his commands more and more. You can become more like Jesus day by day and year by year as the Lord changes your heart. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, thank you that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Thank you for his perfect life and his sin-bearing death. Thank you that righteousness isn't something we need to achieve, but something we simply need to receive by faith. Thank you for your amazing grace, providing a way for us to be counted as those who've kept the law perfectly and are in right relationship with you. Help us this day and every day to choose life, to choose to trust you, to trust you to forgive us and transform us. And in our struggle with sin, help us to believe, to trust your promise that you will circumcise our hearts and enable us to obey. And may we see that promise fulfilled as we're changed by you more and more, by your word and by your spirit, and until that great day when we see Jesus face to face and your transforming work is complete. Until then, help us to increasingly love you with all our hearts and soul and strength, and to walk in joyful obedience to your commands. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.